your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 316. I am Lisa Sheps. I'm joined, as always and forever, by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro, and also apprentice, Kieran Hunter. You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, folks, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
It is Wednesday, July 1st, 2015. On the show today, we have a jam-packed show. Different Stages is joining us with their show, When the Rain Stops Falling. Also, the Asian American Bar Association is here to talk about their evening with attorneys in the arts. And then our very dear friends and next-door neighbors, the City Theater. And they are going to talk to us and tell us about the importance of being earnest. And of course, we will have news and views of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Stick around. Okay, we have a lot of people here.
Yes, we do.
It's cray cray.
But it's always fun when it's like
this. As Larry Wilmore says, it's cray, which is short for cray cray.
Oh, go, Larry.
It's true. Nicole Shiro, how are you?
I'm good.
Feeling older?
I am.
Do you have a car with new car smell?
No. I don't get it till 3 months.
Okay. Three months?
3 months. I have to make it.
I have to say no to that. I'm going to put my foot down.
But I did go in and order it.
Oh, okay.
On the birthday.
What color?
Silver.
Silver, but it's not the normal silver.
It's the light silver.
It's the light silver. It's the LS, as we call it.
I believe it's Alabaster.
Alabaster.
Yes. So, yes, I'm one other person.
You know, somebody I know that was born out of father is an alabaster.
But I named her. Lolita, and I'll let you know when she arrives.
Do you always name your cars?
Always.
What's your current car's name?
Right now, she's Olivia.
Right now, she's Olivia? Was she something else before?
Well, no. Right now, I have Olivia. Livy doesn't know she's going.
Is her last name Pope?
No, Newton John. She's a Honda Fit. She likes to get physical and hear your body talk.
Rather have Pope.
Yeah. Sorry.
Kieran Hunter.
Hello.
You're wearing glasses today.
I am wearing glasses today. I do that sometimes.
Kieran likes to live on the edge like that,
yes.
Lisa.
They're a special person. How was your week?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. Nothing really happened.
Okay. Well, good. Well, welcome back to the show. As I told Kieran and Nicole earlier today, I'm not going to be here in 2 weeks, and Kieran will be flying solo here on the board.
I will prepare myself for that.
So it'll be great. It'll be a smooth running show. So let's introduce the folks that are here with us. This is going to be very interesting. I'm just going to read my list rather than try to make sure that I'm good. So this is in no particular order. Norman Blumensaat.
Yes.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Andy Smith, you're here somewhere.
I'm right here.
You're right there, right by a microphone. Taylor Flanagan.
I'm
hey.
Right next to Andy.
Yay. Christine Wong.
Present.
Hey, am I pronouncing your last name properly?
Huang.
Yeah. And Ginny Su?
Here.
Pronounced correctly?
Yes.
Rock on. Rob Johnson?
Yes.
Yes. You need to be close to the microphone when you do that.
Here's where I will butcher
a name. Vanessa Puitt Williams?
Very close. It's Puig. Puig Williams.
Puitt. Puig? With a G or a T?
It's like wig, but with a P in front.
Okay, my thing said a T, so that's what. Tracy Wills?
Willie, yes.
Willie?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to rename you Wills. Fritz Ketchum is here.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Fritz. Hold on, I have my handwritten notes of the other people that are here. Kara Bliss, where'd you go?
Yes.
Hey, Kara. Jessica Riley?
Hi.
Jesslyn Payne.
Jesslyn Parks.
I can't read my writing. And then last but not least, Mr. Clay Avery.
Hi,
Lisa.
Hey, welcome everybody. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Actually, we're going to try to keep our little our opening section down to a bare minimum. But, you know, that's always hard for me, as Norman pointed out before we went on the air. Norman says, well, Lisa, do you have a timekeeper? And he volunteered, but I said no, because I may
that
just want
right.
I just may want
to
take
Lisa's
over.
Lisa's been on track lately.
I've been on track.
I have to tell you that, Norman.
So we've had a... so
if you need Norman to shut anybody up, just ask him to be the hush guy.
Hush.
Okay, here. Hush, Norman.
You need to be like the tennis rep and start going quiet. So quiet, please. Quiet.
The piece of music we played at the very beginning of the show was I Believe in Marriage from What About Love, sung by the incomparable Miss Judy Kay.
Yes, Judy.
Fritz is nodding her head. Do you know this show? Because I didn't know it before I found it.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it was an off-Broadway show. And, of course, it's about a couple that... you know, it's one of those wife swapping kind of things where they fall out of love with the others and they fall back in love and blah, 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 blah. But I chose that because marriage is in the news.
On my birthday, man.
On your birthday. So
instead of someone dying, there was good news. It was exciting.
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner? Is that the
that
marriage
is, that, that exactly. That exactly is the what we were talking about. And yeah. So there you go. Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner, married.
not anymore.
They had been unable to get married for years and years and years.
Finally,
the Supreme took the Supreme Court to recognize their marriage. So we have marriage equality in the United States, in all 50 states, and so many people, so many of my dear friends, woke up late that morning on Friday with their marriage that was recognized in other states finally recognized in the state of Texas.
Yes.
No matter what Ken Paxton says.
Yes.
So that is a huge deal, and it's a huge deal for our industry because there are... if you were to go by the stereotypes, we are very represented in the same-sex relationship department.
Yes, I would say.
Crickets. Okay. Well, but the bottom line is we should be married to anybody we want to get married to. So, you know, just to keep that slippery slope metaphor as a truth, I am working on making it so that I can marry my dog, Sophie.
There you go.
That's I'm going to be bringing in legislation in the next session to see if we can make... legal, because she's cute.
She is cute. She's kind of a dorb.
She's the dorbs.
Take that argument to the court.
That's
she's
right.
Cute,
so not only it would be cross species, it would be same sex.
Right.
So, yeah. But we got
lot.
Half of that 50%. Taken care of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why I played that song, and then I have a song that I'll be playing at the end of the show, ironically, to celebrate the death knell of the Confederate battle flag, which, thank God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you Texans that don't agree with me, but there you go.
I'm pretty sure they're probably not listening to this show.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
The ones that disagree.
Ted Cruz listens to this show.
Oh, you don't say.
Yes, he does. I do say.
Teddy.
So that's that. Also, I believe today, or it's either today or tomorrow, so it's Leap Second Day. Has everybody heard about this?
What? Yes.
Norman, tell folks what leap second is.
Is the Earth going faster or slower so that you end up with a second like every
we gain every several years? They just do it whenever they feel like it. They add a second or take away a second, so we gain a second.
Okay.
Which presents problems with clocks and time.
Presents
and
also, some. Yeah. It's Y2K all over again, every six or so years. And it's leap second year, and so we'll get an extra second, I think, tonight or Friday night.
If you leap at the right moment, you get an extra second of airtime.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is that absolutely. Why my watch can't keep track of time accurately?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly why. There is a move afoot for the United States to not do this leap second thing, but that would be, from what I understand, you know, in a century or so, midnight would become in the middle of the day.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. So the
we'll all be dead. So.
They're all still arguing over daylight savings. Yeah. So let's just see how far that goes.
Let's segue to just a little bit slightly askew of things that aren't theater to things that are slightly theater.
Oh.
So, and speaking specifically, physical theater. And for those of you that go, who believes, you know, so that we have theater with an ER and theater with an RE, right?
Yes. Yes.
Who subscribes to the belief, since we have a large group, and do this vocally if you wouldn't mind, that the difference between the ER and the RE is that the ER is the building and the RE is the art form?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
okay. True. Who here believes correctly that the RE was a Daniel Webster encounter? Not the RE, the ER was a Daniel Webster purposeful thing to Americanize the word theater, which is what it actually was. But we're going to go to theater, ER, the building, Ford's Theater specifically, and back to the lovely Confederate battle flag. There is a rumor that the chair in the Ford's Theater that is, it's not the original chair, but it's the chair that Lincoln sat in, it's a replica of the chair, that the pro-Confederate state person that did the upholstery on that chair put a Confederate flag inside the upholstery.
Bitter
party of one, exactly. They believe it to not be true, but the upholsterer says it is. It seems to me to be a pretty easy thing to find out.
Yeah. I was about to say, it seems to be pretty easy, and it seems like the upholsterer was very smart with some PR.
Yeah. So, all right. So, we did have a couple of shows open, and one was A New Brain, which was the Encore's off-center production.
Correct.
Did you read the review in the
New York Times?
Yeah, love song. Love song.
I love it.
La 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 la.
I like the music in it.
I don't know it all that well.
You played a
but
little.
Jonathan Groff is in it, along with Anna Gasnier.
And I just love her.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Oh God.
Her husband loves her, or her wife. It could be either these days.
Her partner.
As of Friday.
Her partner in crime.
Her husband or wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have to call them partners anymore.
I said partner in crime.
She's a criminal?
Like, she seems like she's up to mischievous things
anyway,
all the time.
Anyway, and Josh Lehman, or Lamone, however you pronounce it, had a breakout performance. I just checked the time there, Norman, to make sure I'm doing good.
Very good.
It had the scenery was by John Lee Beatty.
Yes.
And the vocal arrangements, the music arrangements, were by one Jason Robert Brown.
Yes, I know.
I know. Amazing.
You like
who very possibly, well, I won't say anything, but we could have an interview with him here on the show coming up in the next month or so. But
something. You just said something.
Yeah, I did.
Lies.
Never mind. That's what we call in the business a tease. Which was my sorority name in college.
Oh my gosh, are you going back to that
one
again?
Yeah, I will dip into that well as long as I can. So the reviewer liked the show, and so it is really a sort of an autobiographical, not a biographical, but it's based on the composer, what's his name? William Finn, who did... Putnam Spelling Bee and something else. Help me.
Oh, I was about to go with Putnam County Spelling Bee. Now I'm having a brain on that.
Oh, falsettos.
One. There you go.
Also with James Lapine, who is the director of this one as well. But it tells a story of a composer that has a serious brain injury that needs a operation that could very likely kill him. And evidently, true story.
Dun, dun, dun.
Spoiler alert, he lives.
Oh, wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
I hope I can get a refund.
But they dun, love dun, the show. You can. So anyway, the New York Times liked it. It's closed already, so don't bother running to the theater.
I was about to say, but you can't run to see it because it's already gone. Bye-bye.
Already gone. The other thing that opened off Broadway was Shows for Days, which we talked about last week.
Yes.
With one Patti LuPone.
Yes. I have to tell you, the costumes look awesome. Maybe because it's 1973. I don't know, but...
I've never heard 1973 and clothing awesome in the same sentence.
I guess when you have a choice between that or the 80s, the 70s was way better, man.
Oh, well,
ouch.
You did not live through it.
Ouch. Yeah, I did. I look back at my outfits. I was way cuter in the 70s than I was in the 80s. Trust me.
But you were a tiny person in the 70s.
I was still way cuter in the 70s than I was in the 80s.
Anyway, so this is the story. We talked about this the other day. This is the story that was written by... Oh, his last name is Dean. And, of course, I need to start underlining these very important names that I'm going to use. Douglas Carter Bean. It was his autobiographical story of him growing up as a gay man in Philadelphia. He found his life in theater and a particularly strong theater teacher, in this case portrayed by Patti LuPone. The teacher's name was Jane Simon Miller or Simone Miller, and she's the founder of the Genesius Theater Company in Philadelphia. Not a great review.
No, it was just hanging out on the fence kind of.
Yeah. So here's a word that's one of these words that I would have thought I would have known. It seems like it's something I should know, and I bet you one of you smart people know here. So we talk about a lot that the critics and the New York Times, amongst others, like to use words that you need to use a dictionary in order to know the meaning. And so this is one of them. So I'm going to throw this out in context, and you guys tell me what it is.
Okay.
Of course, a playwright is going to make people seem more epigrammatic and histrionic than they actually were. Epigrammatic.
Epigrammatic is a saying that turns in on itself. Somewhere.
That's an epigram. So what is epigrammatic?
Epigrammatic, they're referring to the tone of the play, I assume.
I was talking about the person, but the
overly
it means
clever and histrionic, perhaps?
Very good. Concise, clean, and amusing.
Mm.
Which is what an epigram is, which I did not know. I had to look that up, too. It seemed like the kind of thing I should know. Fritz, you win the prize.
Well, epigrams were the specialty of Oscar Wilde.
Well, of course, and we'll be talking about him.
What's
when
the prize? That's what I really
The prize is you are now on my Christmas cookie list.
Nice.
There are no cookies.
I was like, she doesn't make Christmas cookies.
There's just a list.
If I ever get around to
totally doing pulling your leg on that one.
Anyway, so he says the plot winds up venturing into Peyton Place-style confrontations, which may be based on real events but register here as synthetic soap opera.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay. Ouch. So, but he liked Patti LuPone.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Surprise?
I'm not the biggest fan of her.
I don't like her.
Okay. There. See, it doesn't happen often, but...
I don't dislike her as a person. I just, there's something about her. When I watch her, it's like nails on a chalkboard. Ooh. I have no idea why.
So did you ever hear the rant that she did?
I love her.
What, the cell phone thing? Yeah. No, that was wrong. I believe she was absolutely wrong in doing that. You don't break character.
Wrong, but hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yes, hilarious.
But it made me lose respect for her as a performer.
I don't like her.
Well, I'm curious, Nicole. How do you feel about Patti LuPone? Because we can't tell.
Yeah,
she knows too.
So the
sadly.
next up at Encore's Off Center is Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
With Ellen Green.
Yes.
And you know who co-starring? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Dun, 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 dun.
Amazing. That's coming up in a couple weeks, so we'll talk about that when it happens. The Jimmy Awards happened last week.
I know. We love those little Jimmy Awards.
And the winners were Anthony Skillman, representing Los Angeles-based Macy Awards, and Marla Lewis Saint in New York City for the Gershwin Awards.
Isn't that funny? They were New York and L.A. high schoolers.
That is funny.
I don't know. Normally, they're not always from New York and L.A.
Not always.
Yeah.
It was hosted by Michael Servers.
Love him.
Love him, who was a last-minute replacement of one Sutton Foster.
That's okay. I love him.
Love her.
Yeah, but I love him.
Love them both. And now, thanks to the Supreme Court, they can get married.
They can.
although I don't know if bigamy is legal these days.
Yeah.
Aren't they? I would assume that.
No, she's. I think she's engaged.
I'm making assumptions that they're both married. So, whatever.
I think she's engaged.
Anyway,
now.
So in honor of Marla Lewisant's winning, we are going to play a little bit of music from Carolina Change, which is the show that she won for. This is I Got Four Kids.
In 1963,
the pie eating contest. I am going to be going to that.
Pie eating contest.
Vampire, don't make fun.
It makes me happy. I said all that was missing was baseball. I was not upset at all. There was no making fun of. That was exciting.
That was exciting. So let's talk two different stages, shall we?
Let's
talk about
a show
from yesterday. Today, the difference between the two is this is the day when the rain stops falling.
Oh. Yeah.
I wouldn't count on it.
I wouldn't count on it either. So we're here to talk about the show When the Rain Stops Falling, different stages. So here talking about that is Norman Blumensaat,
hello.
Andy Smith,
hi,
and Taylor Flanagan.
Hello.
This is a crazy, kooky kind of show. It sounds interesting.
It is.
Tell us about it.
It goes, and I'm sure Andy will correct me if I say the wrong year. It goes from 1959 to 2039. Did I get
Very
it right?
Very good, Norman.
Okay, good.
You've taken
right
my notes.
Yes, I did. Okay. And it starts in England and goes to Australia, and it tells the story all out of sequence. So
but
you sort of have
in
to.
A
you
sequence.
Sort of. Well, yeah, there is a
there
sequence.
There is a sequence.
Yeah, there is a sequence, but you. You know, so we're in London, we're in Adelaide, we're in Alice Springs, we're on the Coorong in Australia. We're at
that's a lot Uluru. Of places.
Uluru, otherwise known as Ayers Rock.
Did the dingo eat the baby?
No.
You know, they found out that the dingo.
Australians, though, they'll argue with you on that because I always ask every all through
but
Australia.
The DNA
I ask
evidence
that.
Points to the dingo.
I know,
but
dingo
the baby.
Did
it's
eat the baby.
It's funny that they.
All right, off topic.
They argue about it hardcore. It's hilarious. I'm like, whoa, didn't expect that.
Join us next week at Australia Today when we talk about. So this is actually speaking of Australia, the playwright is Australian.
Yes,
correct.
Yes.
Okay,
so.
Who's the playwright?
Andrew Bovell.
Okay.
He also wrote a play called Speaking in Tongues, which was turned into the movie Lantana. And he wrote the screenplay for one of my all-time favorite
which
films.
Which is? Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Strictly Ballroom, Baz Luhrmann's first movie. Which everyone I talked about, I never saw it. I can't find it. It isn't on Amazon. It isn't
It's
on,
hard to find.
Yes.
They replay
That's
it all the
That's Norman's voice
on
for
cable.
Everyone, by the way.
Yes.
Norman, you people are giving you a hard time today. I like this. It's fun.
It's all because of love, though. It's all
so. So
this process has brought us all really close together.
I can tell. Familiarity breeds contempt, does it?
I mean, okay. No. So when we started, when we auditioned, it rained throughout the most of the rehearsal process. It's rained.
Some of the
performances. It's rained. Yeah. Yeah. So it's
we joked about seeing if we could get the title changed to "If the Rain Stops Falling."
So what is the significance of the title, or does that give anything away?
Well, one of the things that he deals with is if it's the end of the world and it's raining, we all may be flooded and we all may go to who knows where.
And also what people do when they think that the world might be ending, the connections that they try to reconnect and the ones that they let slide and those kinds of things.
Okay. So this story is a story of a relationship over time, is it not?
Yeah,
though?
Yes. Family. It's about family. Two families. It's about fathers abandoning children and... wives throwing their husbands out, and finally a son who comes and
stop.
causes the rain to stop falling.
Yeah, there we go.
So Taylor, could you please repeat that? I didn't understand.
You're welcome.
That was good. That was good. But y'all are prepared to do a little scene, are you not?
Yes.
So it's very interesting. This is a play that has many characters whose first name is Gabriel.
Okay.
So we're going to do one of the first scenes in Australia, which takes place in a roadhouse on the Coorong between Gabriel York and Gabriel Law.
Okay, and I assume this is Andy and Taylor that are going to be doing this?
Yes, okay. They're both Gabriels in this play.
Excellent. So this is Andy Smith and Taylor Flanagan doing a scene from different stages production of When the Rain Stops Falling.
Hello.
You frightened me.
I'm sorry.
Where did you come from?
I just pulled up. I'm driving through the Coorong.
What for?
To see it, I suppose. Terrible weather. Still, there are people drowning in Bangladesh, so we shouldn't complain.
You're English.
Yes.
Are
Is that
there?
All right?
Are there?
Are there...
people drowning in Bangladesh?
No, it's just a figure of speech, something my mother always says. Oh. Though they often do, each monsoon, but they're not at the moment, at least I hope not.
Do you want something? To eat, I mean.
What have you got?
Soup.
What sort of soup?
Fish. You don't like fish soup.
The last time I had it, I threw up. I was on a bus going home after visiting my mother. It came without warning and with such force it landed on a skinhead sitting in the seat in front of me. He had fish soup all through his mohawk. So he dragged me into the aisle and beat the crap out of me. Not one person stood up to help. They all looked the other way, even the conductor.
But that's London for you. Not sure what caused me to be so ill. The fish soup, or seeing my mother.
That's not a very nice thing to say about your mother.
It's a complicated relationship.
I can do you a toasted sandwich, if you like.
I would, thank you. Tomato and cheese.
You don't want ham?
No.
You sure?
I'm vegetarian. What?
I'll get you a sandwich.
And do you have a room?
How long are you staying?
Not sure, a day or two.
I'll have to make one up. We don't get people down here this time of year.
Why not?
The weather.
But it's beautiful here.
Do you think?
I've never seen anything like it.
I think it's the ugliest place in the world.
Did you grow up here?
Yes.
If you look at it through the eyes of a stranger, you'll see what I see.
It's still just sand hills and water. Oh, and bird poo on your car.
I come from London. I think that's the ugliest place in the world. If it's not the ugliest, it's certainly the loneliest.
You can walk along the beach here for 5 days and not see anyone.
I know. It's brilliant.
It's killing me.
Leave.
I'm going to. I want to meet people.
You've met me?
What's your name?
Gabriel.
It's not.
It is. What's yours?
Gabriel.
What are the chances of that?
Well, Gabriel's kind of snarky.
Which one?
That was the point. What fun. What fun. I find the Australian accent very hard to do.
Me too.
I'm just saying. All I can say is shrimp on the Barbie, and I can't even say that. So it's fun. What period does this take place in?
That's 1988, that scene.
1988.
This scene. Yep. So okay. Thanks for dissing the 80s, Nicole.
Yeah, Nicole.
Way to go.
I didn't say they were bad. I said if I had to choose the 70s over the 80s.
88 is practically the 90s.
Now, the 80s almost. Had some great music, don't get me wrong.
So the play takes place in the 80s and 59, so spanning...
And
2039 and 2039.
Goes everywhere.
Yeah,
2039?
Yes, it's
Norman, that hasn't happened yet.
Right. I know.
In Norman's world, it has.
It's awesome. So how do you handle... So I'm trying to, in my mind, trying to see how the scenery works in this show. So well, how does that...
The scenery is minimal. And we have projections of the years, mm-hmm. and we have... projections of the rain and other projections that if you come to see, you'll enjoy.
We'll learn about it.
Yes.
And then we'll also learn what fashions will be in the 2030s. Right. Which is really good.
I think the fashions are sort of traditional because Lord knows what they'll be.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be like the 70s.
That's for Nicole. Right, Lisa.
So where are y'all playing this?
We're at the Vortex through July 18th.
Great. And where can folks go to get more information?
Well, they can either go to the Vortex website or the Different Stages website.
Well, great. Well, thank you guys so much. You said through the 18th. So that's two more weekends?
Three
more weekends.
Three more. And there's no performance on the 4th of July.
Aw. Darn
but
it,
there's an added one on July 15th.
Which yay. Okay,
voila!
But you can find all that information on the website.
Definitely.
Yes.
Correct. Well, thank you guys so much for being
thank
on the show.
You. Thank you for
thank
having
you.
Us.
That was Norman Blumensaat, Andy Smith, Taylor Flanagan of Different Stages Production of When the Rain Stops Falling Might through July 18th at the Vortex Theater. For more information, you may visit... maine.org/diffstages or do what I do and Google Different Stages and you will find it. We will be right back.
Here comes the rain. Find me shelter.
All right. Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
All right. So before we go on to talk about local stuff, I am going to ask Rob to pick a number between 2 and 54. Four, is that right? Oh, 2 and 54.
33
is the number. So let's see what that is. Hold on, we're queuing it up right now.
It's coming up.
The suspense is killing us. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Holland Taylor, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
How appropriate was that?
So appropriate.
Holland Taylor
about that show.
Was here talking about Anne and the wonderful, like, progressive governor of the state of Texas.
Hopefully we will
get back.
It's a fine choice.
Not that I'm showing my... So we have just a short time for local stuff. Did you choose something to talk about?
I did.
What is that?
I chose The Wizard of Oz because I love me The Wizard of Oz. Out at the Emily Ann Theater from June 5th through July 4th. And I don't have a webpage, but I know it's on nowplayingaustin.com.
Okay, nowplayingaustin.com. You can find it. My challenge for you next week is to choose something that's not children's theater. That's my challenge.
I didn't think that was children's theater.
Wizard of Oz?
Yeah. They have 50 people in the show. I don't find that children's theater. Sorry.
Okay. Well, good.
That's
so,
why I chose. It's cloud. Yeah.
All right. So that's a PG-13 show.
Yeah.
Okay. Today in theater history, for July 1st, Flo Ziegfeld says goodbye to the Ziegfeld Follies. The very last Ziegfeld Follies of 1931 happened on this date in 1931, which was why it was Ziegfeld Follies.
Last week I chose the Beach Boys. I did not choose the children's theater.
Chillax. 2004 is the... We had a lot of deaths on this day.
Because everyone dies around my birthday. So that does not surprise me.
I'm sure that's the reason.
It's true.
I'm sure of it. But Marlon Brando was one of those people that died date in 2004. Keith Charles, who was an actor that was in Applause and Threepenny Opera, and starred opposite Lauren Bacall in Applause, actually, in the same role that Lynn Carrieu did. So that happened in 2008, and the following year, Carl Malden passed away. Mm. He was 97.
I was about to say, he lived a long, good life. Yeah. 97.
In 2013, well, we'll talk about that. We won't talk about it now. 2013, Mary Zimmerman directed, and I did not know that this was, a stage version of the musical The Jungle Book.
Yes.
At the Goodman in Chicago.
We did talk about that.
Did we?
Briefly, but don't yes, we did.
So there.
Because I Love Me the Jungle Book.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
There is not a cast album. Although when you go on the Music Theater International site to look at it, there are vocal selections that you can hear that sound like
The Jungle Book.
But it sounds like it was a professional recording, and I wish that they had...
They had a whole bunch of video out, because we played some of the video for one of the numbers.
Okay.
But I don't know where... I haven't looked to see if it's disappeared or not.
I don't know either. And then some of the birthdays are... Oh, I know why I did that. Okay. Some of the birthdays, 1899, Charles Laughton. Mm. 1916, Olivia de Havilland. Farley Granger, 1925, the year my father was born. Mm-hmm. Everybody,
25,
yeah,
that's a good number.
You remember, right? and Twyla Tharp was born in 1941, and Terrence Mann in 1951.
Dun, da, da, da,
first
dun,
time dun, I dun. Am younger than everybody here.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's good. And so we will go out with, this isn't really a theater, but it is Marlon Brando singing. So it's a little bit, I'm thinking you can guess what it is.
I have an idea.
So let's keep the party polite. Never get out of my sight.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps and Karen Hunter. We are performing this service to the city of Austin on KOOP 91.7 on your FAMA dial.
Mm-hmm.
And it streams live. Where?
At KOOP.org.
I was testing you and you won.
I don't fail the KOOP test because I'm all about it.
So we oftentimes have attorneys on our show.
All the time. we have attorney hour.
Today is no exception. So we have folks from the Asian American Law Association. Christine Huang.
Hello.
She's the artistic director for Attorneys in the Arts.
Yes, I am.
Lovely. Jenny Sue.
Yes, here.
You are the coordinator for
the creative coordinator, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to...
You did write the creative... And you're going to notice you have everyone's name spelled correctly right here, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, there you go. Rob Johnson.
Hello.
Vanessa Puig-Williams.
Yes.
And Tracy Willie.
Hi there.
You're correct.
They're Willie and...
See, this is the difference between me cutting and pasting what Christine sent me and me typing it myself. So y'all are here to talk about an event that you're going to be doing, correct?
Yes. It's Evening of Attorneys in the Arts mm-hmm. on July 30th at the Highball.
Highball, my sorority name in college.
You are on fire today. Woo!
So Attorneys in the Arts, these are attorneys that... represent artists? Is that what that means?
It's attorneys who have an artistic side that we don't really get to express every day because we're litigating and we're arguing and we're writing contracts and things like that.
Litigating is acting.
Yeah, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, mm-hmm. I asked you, does this look like a guilty face?
Can you handle the truth? Yes.
No, I can't.
But this is also presented and hosted and majorly underwritten by the Austin Asian American Bar Association. Uh-huh. Last year, we did it for the first time as a fundraiser for Lucky Chaos Theater Company. You know Ling Wong.
Yes. We do know Ling Wong.
And it was such a huge success that the council member said, let's bring it back and make it the annual signature event. A lot of bar associations do galas and rubber chicken dinners and give each other awards. We wanted to do something different and celebrate what's uniquely Austin and also let people know that we have Asian American lawyers in our city.
So what is the evening going to look like?
It's going to look like a bunch of fun.
Okay, well, thank you for being on the show.
We're going to have a pre-show reception with food and cocktails. We're going to have a show with attorneys performing original arts. We have songwriters, dancers, singers, a cappella artists. We have storytellers and poets. Oh. And we also have a karaoke after party in all seven of the themed highball karaoke rooms. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It will be a
party. I have not been to the highball since it reopened. I understand that the bowling alley is no longer there.
But the bowling alley floors have been repurposed into a dance floor.
I was like, it's now a dance floor, but I do miss the bowling.
They made it into the ceiling.
I'd rather go bowling. They made it into the ceiling.
Yeah, they took the bowling alley lanes and made them into the ceiling.
You can't do
that. They reworked the materials.
I'm just saying, I've tried to bowl on the ceiling. It doesn't work.
Well, Lionel can dance on the ceiling. Maybe you should call him.
But I love how when you said a cappella artist, you indicated to your left as if it had something to do with people in this room.
Yes, maybe some attorneys and artists who are a cappella artists.
But I love this. What's on the script is... La Cappella.
That's our name.
La Cappella.
Yes. Awesome.
So are all of you, are you part of the...
I'm not singing today. I will be on stage at the event reading some haikus. I don't remember saying yes to Christine. I'm pretty sure I might have been under the influence, but there it is.
Haikus of your own writing?
I did write the haikus. It's actually going to be a haiku battle between myself and another attorney, Lori.
Here's my haiku. Haiku, my sorority name in college.
The last line is refrigerator. Five syllables.
I don't remember. I don't remember the haiku rules. So a cappella groups, which are really important in my book because I'm addicted to Pitch Perfect 1. I have not seen Pitch Perfect 2 yet, so I don't know. But I do know. So how long have you guys been performing together?
1 year.
1 year?
A year.
Yeah.
And what kind of stuff do y'all do?
We've done, of course, a cappella work, and then we've also been involved in Bar and Grill, which is another fundraiser that we do. We're all just kind of attorneys that have a similar sense of humor and a similar, I guess,
we live life like it's a musical. We'll just start talking, and then we bust out into song, and we harmonize with each other.
Yeah, and the a cappellas we take... pretty recognizable songs, a lot of times pop songs, and then change the lyrics to make them about legal issues.
Oh, okay. So,
and then
so
sing
not
them a cappella.
Okay, awesome. That's awesome.
Well, let's
aka awesome.
It's aka awesome. So, we should hear something, shouldn't we?
What
are you going to regale us
what
with?
So in honor of you, as you were mentioning before, all the landmark decisions coming out of the Supreme Court of...
the LMDs, we call them.
Yes.
The landmark decisions.
Affordable Care Act, the marriage equality, and also something might not be as recognized. They upheld Texas's right to refuse to issue a Texas Confederate specialty license.
Correct.
So go Texas. We wanted to perform a song in honor of a very special Scottish justice, and it's a parody to Adele's Rumor Has It.
Okay. So this is going to be the La Cappellas singing some song. Go for it.
Here's our pitch pipe.
Ruth, 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 she is for real, independent, intelligent, and strong-willed. She is no stranger to the Supreme Court, of which she's a member. Sure, she's got it all, but she wants equality.
opportunity for us all. Bless her soul, she makes misogynists frown. Her opinions are fierce, she'll take Scalia down. She makes your heart melt and your intellect score. Notorious RBG, the song is for
Bader Ginsburg. Bader Ginsburg. Bader Ginsburg. Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah. I'm like laughing.
I'm still confused which SCOTUS justice you're talking about.
Bader Ginsburg.
Must be Scalia. Our favorite.
Must be Scalia. How wonderful is that?
Okay, that was awesome.
Thank you. That's just a little taste of what
That's just
get.
A little taste. And so how many numbers are you going to be doing at the event?
We're doing a mashup. Yeah. That's just a little part.
Yeah.
Of
You're doing
it.
Oh, okay.
A piece of a bigger yeah. medley.
So we're doing a parody
song.
To Michael Jackson, to Johnny Cash, to Destiny's Child, to all these things in one mashup. Very.
It's all the genres. It is.
Yeah.
Smorgasbords. I love it.
Yeah.
And Rob, are you beatboxing the whole time?
As a litigator, I'm generally not trusted with words because I tend to weaponize them.
I see.
As the only bass, I do get the Johnny Cash song.
Cool. Good.
Nice.
Well, thank you guys for coming on the show. Where can folks go to get more information about the evening?
So all the details can be found on our site, which is austinaaba.org. Mm-hmm. And there's a separate page for the AIA event.
And what time on the 30th?
So it starts at 6 p.m. and it'll go until the karaoke rooms shut down pretty much. Yeah.
I've stayed at those rooms past midnight. They're fun.
Oh. Yeah.
The Highball's a great venue.
Really excellent. Well, thank excited. You guys for being on the show. I hope you will, or at least some of you will join us backstage.
Okay. Absolutely.
When we're done, because
yeah, that's kind of this. You guys have good backstage stories.
Okay, good backstage stories. Well, great. So that was the folks from the Asian American Law Association talking about their event, an evening with attorneys in the arts on July 30th at the Highball. For more information, you may visit austinaaba.org.
Yesterday, at last, I passed past the bar.
La la la, that was fun.
Yes, that was.
That song was called "The Advocate's Plea" from Amour.
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 Do amour.
Amour.
I amour you.
Clint, what's going on, dude?
Clay.
I'm changing your name to Clint.
It's okay.
Clay, what's going on?
I don't know. I don't know how far I spoke away.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, right where you are. Okay, right you're good. Okay, okay. You're good. So, all right, good. We're here talking about the importance of burning in earnest. Fritz Ketchum, welcome yes. back to the show.
Thank you.
Cara Bliss.
Hello.
Clay Avery, or Hello. As I like to call him,
or Clint whatever.
Avery. Jessalyn Payne.
Parks.
Parks.
Hey.
I need to.
Here's a pen.
It so looks like Payne to me.
That's cool. Wrote,
and Jessica Riley.
Hi there, Lisa.
So this is an Oscar Wilde play, from what I understand.
Yes, it is.
I love me Mr. Wilde.
Oscar Wilde is wonderful.
I just love him.
Yeah, even though we're doing full-on period costumes and scenery and so
FOPK, as we call those.
There you go. It just still rings so true and so perfect for today's uh-huh. era, I think, particularly when... Lady Bracknell has a line. Would you give us the line about don't make fun of society?
Oh.
To Algernon.
Algernon. It's hard to pull well,
only,
it out
only,
of the
only,
yeah,
never
nothing
make
like
fun.
A little pressure.
Yeah. Never make fun of society, Algernon.
Never make fun of society, Algernon. Only people who can't get into it do that.
Yes. And that's just, I mean, it's reflective of today's celebrity culture. And it's a timeless, wonderful line. You know, yeah. It carries both an intent of irony and sarcasm and all sorts of things, but it also rings true, which makes it funny.
What's this? Can you give us a little, tell us a little bit about the plot of the show
yeah,
for those
sure.
people
the
that may not know it?
Because
it is a relatively current contemporary piece.
Yeah. From 1895, yeah. It centers around two young men in their late 20s, Algernon Moncrief and John or Jack Worthing, one who lives in the country and one who lives in town, and the two of them create fictional identities of an absent brother named Ernest as a ruse to allow them to go either into the country or into town as they wish. And this whole ruse, Algernon refers to it as bunburying. And so he is his...
As what?
Bunburying.
Bunburying.
His fictional is an invalid friend named...
Yeah. Sorority name in college.
I knew it.
And in the at the start of the play, you find out that Jack Worthing is in love with Gwendolyn Fairfax, who is a young woman in high society. But he has told her that his name is Ernest. And she says, I can never imagine loving anyone by the name of Ernest. That plot device is then repeated when, under the guise of going to visit Bunbury in the country, Algernon sneaks out to Jack's country estate, meets Jack's ward, Cecily Cardew, who also has an elaborate fiction of marrying someone by the name of Ernest. And the foil in all of this is Aunt Augusta Bracknell, Lady Bracknell, who opposes both marriages, and then we get into
just
the
on
dilemma.
Principle.
Well, of course, because they shouldn't, as most of us agree, marriages shouldn't be allowed, and that's why I'm going to run for the Supreme Court. So I'm taking that this takes place in Great Britain.
Takes place, Act 1 is in London, and Act 2 and Act 3 are at Jack's country estate.
I was never invited. Claire, are you playing Jack?
Yes, I am.
I knew it. Because when she said country estate, you went like, oh, yes, I have a country estate. So tell us what all your characters are. Kara?
I'm Kara. I'm Lady Bracknell.
Clay. I'm Clay, Jack Worthing.
Jessica, I play Gwendolyn Fairfax.
I'm Jocelyn, and I play Cecily Cardew.
Cecily, I want to be called Cecily.
Cecily.
Which, oddly enough, was not
your sorority
my sorority
name.
Well, let me call that sorority on the phone.
I tried. I'm gonna write a movie called The Cecilies. Hopefully it will be turned into a musical. So y'all are prepared to do a little scene as well, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes, we're going to hear a little snippet of the initial confrontation or the initial examination of Jack by Lady Bracknell when he's expressed his love for her daughter.
Okay, so is this just Kara and Clay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, the interrogation.
The interrogation. So this is Kara Bliss and Clay Avery doing a scene from City Theater's production of The Importance of Being Earnest.
Now to minor matters. Are your parents living?
I have lost both my parents.
Both? To lose one parent, Mr. Worthing, may be regarded as a misfortune. To lose both looks like carelessness. Who was your father? He was evidently a man of some wealth. Was he born in what the radical papers call the purple of commerce, or did he rise from the ranks of the aristocracy?
I am afraid I really don't know. The fact is, Lady Bracknell, I said I had lost my parents. It would be nearer to the truth to say that my parents seem to have lost me. I don't actually know who I am by birth. I was found.
Found?
The late Mr. Thomas Cardew, an old gentleman of a very charitable and kindly disposition, found me, and gave me the name of Worthing because he happened to have a first-class ticket to Worthing in his pocket at the time. Worthing is a place in Sussex. It is a seaside resort.
Where did the charitable gentleman with first-class ticket to the seaside resort find you?
In a handbag.
A handbag?
Yes, Lady Bracknell. I was in a handbag. A somewhat large black leather handbag with handles to it. An ordinary handbag, in fact.
In what locality did this Mr. James, or Thomas Cardew, come across this ordinary handbag?
In the cloakroom at Victoria Station. It was given to him in mistake for his own.
The cloakroom at Victoria Station.
Yes, the Brighton line.
Ah, handbag was my sorority name in college. What fun. That's got to be fun to play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Big fun.
Yeah. So do y'all fall in love at the end?
These two do not.
Not us. No.
Yeah, it seemed like
a lot
it was
of
going there.
In love, but not,
nobody
not
loves Lady Bracknell.
Like, Lady Bracknell.
I do.
Kind of alone.
Poor thing. Yeah. So I'm guessing. I'm sorry. You were going to say something.
I'm like, she gets shafted. No love for Lady Bracknell.
Oh.
No.
Oh well.
But she wins.
And that's good enough.
The love of chaos.
Now we're going to hear another couple of characters, are we not?
Yes.
I see them scheming over here. What? So you want to set this scene up?
Sure. This is the first time that Gwendolyn Fairfax and Cecily Cardew meet, and because both of their intendeds have pretended to be Ernest, they think mistakenly they're in love and engaged to the same man.
Okay, so this is Jessica Riley and Jesslyn Parks doing another scene from City Theater's The Importance of Being Earnest.
In fact, I am going to be his.
I beg your pardon.
Dearest Gwendolyn, there is no reason why I should make a secret of it to you. Our little county newspaper is sure to chronicle the fact next week. Mr. Ernest Worthing and I are engaged to be married.
My darling Cecily, I think there must be some slight error. Mr. Ernest Worthing is engaged to me. The announcement will appear in the Morning Post on Saturday at the latest.
I am afraid you must be under some misconception. Ernest proposed to me exactly 10 minutes ago.
It is certainly very curious, for he asked me to be his wife yesterday afternoon at 5:30. If you would care to verify the incident, pray do so. I never travel without my diary. One should always have something sensational to read in the train. I am so sorry, dear Cecily, if it is any disappointment to you, but I'm afraid I have the prior claim.
It would distress me more than I can tell you, dear Gwendolyn, if it has caused you any mental or physical anguish. But I feel bound to point out that since Ernest proposed to you, he has clearly changed his mind.
Well, what great banter. And y'all can quote me on this, but I think this Oscar Wilde guy, if he works hard enough, he's going to go somewhere.
I know, right?
He's got real potential.
Destined for greatness. So you're up into your final weeks of production, yes?
This is our final weekend. We come back tomorrow night and play through Sunday matinee.
So you do have a performance on the 4th of July?
We do.
Yay, because there are fireworks going on at the City Theater.
It's like there's fireworks. That's what I was about to say.
Well, I beat you to it,
didn't I? You did.
Well, great. So where can folks go to get more information about the show?
They go online to citytheateraustin.org.
And the theater is spelled with an R-E.
Well, is there another way to spell it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. No, you do not have to tell our listeners that. And of course, that's great. So we got this weekend and then off on to the next greatest thing.
The next big project.
Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
And I hope that some of you can stick around and hang out with us backstage.
Yes.
So that was Fritz Ketchum, Kara Bliss, Jessica Riley, Jesslyn Parks, and Clay Avery, all of City Theater's production of The Importance of Being Earnest, now through July 5th at the City Theater. For more information, citytheater.org. And you know, there's rascals and scoundrels in this show.
You wouldn't trade a single day or have it any other
We are back.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a jam-packed show, and I've got to just to admit that. Remember how we had my computer problems?
Yes.
So I was preparing for the show, which I had already overbooked.
Yes.
And I get a text from one Bob Scalero.
And what did he have to say?
He said he can't wait to be on the show today because evidently I had also booked
hairspray
to be on the show. And he graciously agreed to come next week.
I was like, is he coming next week?
Hairspray will be on next week. And Bob Tolero, you are a gem and a scholar and a king. Hairspray is playing, I believe, this weekend as well, mm-hmm. over at the Zilker Hillside Theater.
Beverly Sheffield Zilker Hillside Theater.
Yeah, whatever you said is what we're going to do. So thank you again.
Thank you,
for
Lisa.
A lovely day. And Karen, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Next week, you're going to have your fingers on the little dials, and we'll work together. And then 2 weeks, you're on your own.
Okay.
Great.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Remember, folks, please like us on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
Please stitch us on Stitcher.
Oh, yes.
And how else can they find us?
Oh, best way is get Lisa and Nicole delivered in your mailbox, right. offstageonair.com.
And we'll come right to you.
We appear.
For those of you listening to the podcast, and you should be listening to the podcast,
yes.
and you can get it in all the ways that Nicole just said. You can. Oh, and I didn't mention iTunes. You
I was
can
like,
get us
we
on
get
iTunes.
Us on the iTunes and the Stitcher.
You will be joining us at Backstage, And for those of you listening on the FM, which you also should be doing,
yes.
You're going to stand by for Austin Monitor News. Tracy Schultz is spinning those platters today. So we love Tracy.
Tracy is awesome.
And so Nicole, Karen, and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening backstage, offstage, and on the air. And this is in honor of the death knell, hopefully, to the Confederate battle flag. And I play this sort of ironically.
I go to fight for these old hills behind me.
The curtain has just come down on Auto Mechanic, the musical, where carburetors and fly rods dance with exhaust systems. And we are backstage. We've come down to a skeleton crew, as most of the guests have left, but we do have the most important people here. Christine Huang.
Hello.
Jenny Sue.
Hello.
Rob Johnson.
Hi there.
Fritz Ketchum.
Hello.
And Jesslyn Parks.
Hi.
Wow, what a great show we had today. Yeah, thank you all.
It was really a lot.
It was a lot of fun.
Fritz, tell me about you. Where'd you come from?
Born in Chicago, 3 months later moved to Columbus, Ohio, where my dad taught at Ohio State.
So do you remember much of Chicago?
Nothing.
No, really? 3 months? I remember my entire first 3 months.
I actually did my undergraduate work in Illinois, so I spent a lot of time in Chicago.
I call it Illinois. Where did you do your undergraduate work?
At Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois.
Okay. Do many people knock that?
And then from there, I went back home to Athens, Georgia, where my dad was a philosophy professor for many, many years, and I did my graduate work at University of Georgia.
What did you get your degrees in?
Both were theater degrees, directing and acting.
So you got your undergraduate degree in directing and acting, and then you went to, as we call it here on the show, master's school.
Yeah, I became a master of fine arts.
And master of fine arts.
Yeah.
And then after that, you can go to doctor school.
Yes. I started that, a year of that, and then I just completely burned out on
what
school.
Was your thesis?
My thesis was on Marat Sade by Peter Weiss, the persecution and assassination of Jean-Paul Marat as performed by the inmates at the asylum of Charenton under the direction of the Marquis de Sade.
Yes, don't I know it.
Yes, it was in... So, the thesis was...
Very light.
And it had the practicum component is you have to direct and design the entire show.
Uh-huh.
And it's a year's worth of work. It was part of... Sorry, I'm talking about my senior honors thesis at Knox. My master's thesis was on And Miss Reardon Drinks a Little by Paul Zindel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that was... A mannerist approach, which was a movement post-Renaissance.
Don't I know? Directing. I remember that.
Yeah. To directing Anne Miss Reardon Drinks a Little.
So lovely. So, you growing up, what brought you? What sparked that theater fire?
When I was 12, I was one of seven kids, and my dad wanted to get us out of the house. So he took the older ones of us to a local community theater to audition for A Christmas Carol.
Uh-huh.
And three of us got cast. I was the only one in a speaking role.
Which speaking role was it?
Agatha, she was one of the women who are coming to ask Scrooge for money.
Do you remember one of your lines?
Do not. Oh, no, I do.
Rats. Let's hear it.
Thank you, Mr. Scrooge. I prefer to remain anonymous.
Yeah. There you go.
Or something like that. And then that just spurred an interest throughout high school. And then I knew that was what I was passionate about, what I was meant to do, and started the academic route. And then ever since, graduate school, focused primarily on directing. I served as an artistic director for a whole slew of theaters in Athens, Atlanta, and Savannah, Georgia.
Lovely. And so what was your favorite theater that you worked with in Georgia?
Probably I would have to say the Savannah Theater, because it was a 100-year-old building that had been renovated. It was a really big house, and mm-hmm. I not only directed there, but I also played a million years ago Stella in Streetcar Named Desire.
A million years ago?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think Streetcar Named Desire was written 100 years ago.
Yeah. You got to be so technical, huh, Lisa?
Oh, well, that's Austin. So what brought you to Austin?
Well, first 25, 28 years ago, I came to Dallas with a group of friends from the Savannah Theater Company and started working here and met my husband here while I was production managing in Dallas for New Arts Theater, which was an mm-hmm. Equity Theater. And way back then, we were doing the Rocky Horror Show and bringing a tour to the Paramount. And so that was my second time being in Austin. So fast forward, a husband, three children, three kids going through college. My husband was laid off 3 years ago and got a great offer to come down here to work for another company. So we resettled here.
Lovely. So you've been here just 3 years?
Not quite 3 years.
You're a relative newcomer.
I am.
Well, welcome. Welcome. Thank we're happy to have somebody with such such a great pedigree, theatrical pedigree here. treading the boards in Austin. Well,
and the thing that I miss the most, I got to give a plug to TCU. I was on the faculty there for 6 years in the theater department.
Lovely.
And
they have a really good dance department there, don't they?
They have an excellent dance mm-hmm. department, yeah. So that was my last time in the academic side, so I've just been focusing on directing and acting here in Austin.
So what would be your dream show to direct?
To direct. There's so many. This was one of them, The Importance of Being Earnest, uh-huh. because I love Oscar Wilde, and it's sort of a bucket list play.
He didn't like girls. Just saying.
You still can, him.
You can love him, but it's not going to get you anywhere.
I'd love to, because I also act, I'd love to do Mary Tyrone and Long Day's Journey. I'm about the right age now for that, so.
Yeah, that's she's a 20-something character.
But I don't
character.
Really have a favorite, you know, like the penultimate show to direct. There's just so many.
Yeah. There's a
See, that's an answer I give, and you never like that. I'm like, I can't pick
one. Well, you can't get away with anything.
I can't pick one, and I get in trouble. I'm like, but I can't
pick
one. But
see, if somebody were to ask me, I would
difficult.
Say Jessica and the Couch Potato. It's that simple.
Well, you know
you
what?
Go.
I'll work on that.
Ginny
right
Sue,
now.
What's your story?
Oh, wow.
You're a lawyer. You're
no,
not
I'm
a lawyer.
Not practicing.
You're not practicing.
I was a
lawyer. Well, because you know you're a pro, so you don't need to practice.
You were. You get it that way.
You're a non-practicing lawyer. Okay, yeah. So what are you in the arts of some sort?
Kind of. I'm kind of a Jill of all trades, I guess. Mm-hmm. I have my own businesses. I make lip balms and skincare products. I do event planning.
Lovely.
I also support small businesses with lots of different things. So. With the ABBA group that we were talking about earlier, the Asian Bar Association, I do a lot of their graphic design work and run photo booths for them at events.
Do you have a web address that you can hawk? We're not under the same rules as we were before.
I do a lot of different things. So really, Lip Glossary is my main business. That's the vegan lip and skincare product.
Vegan lip? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. But yeah,
so no beeswax.
No beeswax, all mm-hmm. vegetables. So yeah, but I've been in Austin for 5 years, and
there we go.
There it is, the visual aid.
Refreshing mint is what I have in my.
Yeah,
purse.
I have lip balms in almost I think 45 flavors now.
Wow,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so.
Where can folks find that?
I mostly sell online, but you can mm-hmm. find me at different craft shows. Actually, I produce a big show here in Austin. It's called the Summer Show ATX. Event. It's at the Austin Music Hall in August, so if you want to find me, I'll be there. I'll probably be running around like a chicken with my head cut off because I'm running the show, but I'll have a little bit of stuff there to sell to.
Have you ever done theater?
I haven't.
Not even in elementary school?
I'm trying to think. Not really. I mean, I've always sort of been outgoing and probably really easy to spot in a crowd, but not on stage necessarily, so I'm kind of scared to death about the Attorneys in the Arts event.
Really? Did you do it last year?
I didn't. I just attended. So my way of getting over that has been to invite friends so that I can't back down because I will not. That's like the worst, is to like look like a failure in front of your friends. So I went ahead and invited them, and they're all ready to be there and support/heckle me. I'm really
excellent. So, what are you going to do for?
So, I'm going to be reading these haikus that I mm-hmm. wrote alongside a fellow attorney named Lori. It's sort of a haiku battle, And it's going to be about different topics in life. So everything.
Did you guys both get the same topics and then had to write?
Yeah, this was all actually Christine's brainchild. So she came up with the topics and gave them to us, and then we wrote our haikus separately. So I haven't seen Lori's. She hasn't seen mine. There's an MC. Her name is Lilan. She's going to write something that kind of ties our both sides together. And then I assume, like, we'll just be on stage. We're going to practice. We have to still do that. But we're going to be on stage. She'll read one. I'll read one, back and forth like that.
So what makes you nervous about performing?
You know, I just, it's, I think it's something you probably get used to over time, and I haven't had enough practice. So.
When you were a practicing attorney, did you litigate?
I never actually got to trial. It's very rare when you're that junior to actually go to a trial. So, I mean, I've done depositions.
I watch a lot of television. I watch a lot of lawyer shows. And they're going to trial all the time.
Yes, they get in all the time. What's
there
wrong?
There was that one time I did argue the First Amendment. That's true. But, yeah, it's just, I'm sure, a matter of, I just got to get up there. Usually when I'm up in front of a crowd, I'm always nervous, and then after a minute or two, I'm okay. So.
Yeah. I have a feeling you'll be great.
I was like, I think you're going to be fine. Just we'll so see. You know, we all put our pants on the same way. We all do the same thing.
Most of us.
You don't need to be worried about.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
I'll have to write that down.
And every famous person's had a moment in time on stage where they've messed up, too. So it just happens.
I try to watch all those little, like, bloopers and things of people falling downstairs. Or,
make yourself feel better.
Like, okay. It's kind of like right before you're about to clean, you watch a whole marathon of Hoarders, and then you're like, okay, I'm okay.
Maybe I need to get
so
in
my
on
challenge
that.
For you would be to consider taking an improv course.
That would be my
challenge to you because that I think it's a wonderful way to discover your inner performer and get a little confidence, and then we might get the honor of having you be an actual theater person and be in shows.
We'll see.
Lucky Chaos could work with
Lisa's
you.
Lisa's been doing the improv.
We love our Lucky Chaos.
Awesome.
So Rob, you're in theater. You've done theater.
I've done a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, what'd you do?
I started in grade school and enjoyed it thoroughly. Couldn't get cast in anything in junior high, but went back to it in high school. Loved it again, and then, you know, got busy with college and law school and law practice and kind of put it
aside. Did you play football in high school?
No, absolutely not.
Because you got that sort of football vibe going.
I was a very skinny nerd in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Cool.
But then a few years ago, our church children's ministry wanted to put together a group of adults to put on plays for the kids, and I volunteered to direct, and I've been doing that, I think it's probably 10 years now.
Oh, that's
great. Awesome.
And then I heard about the Bar and Grill shows and thought, well, you know, I haven't actually been on stage myself in a long time. Let's give it a shot. And 2 years ago, we did a Christmas parody show, and I was Judge Ebenezer Grinch and got to yell at people and be obnoxious.
Lovely.
And last year we did a Halloween-themed show, and so I got to yell at people and be obnoxious, and so I think I'm typecast.
Where does the Bar and Grill happen?
Past 2 years, it's been at the State Theater.
And is it once a year?
Once a year.
Oh, okay. And when does it
Austin
happen?
Young Lawyers Association sponsors it.
Yeah, I think this next one is usually towards the end of the year in the fall. That one time we had a Christmas show, mm-hmm. So that was in the winter.
Is there food involved? Because it's a Bar and Grill.
Yeah, what's the bar like the Austin
I,
bar?
That I got.
Yeah.
But the grill part, unless you like getting up in my grill.
They did have a
it's more like the grill, Rick Perry.
Got it.
Instead of roast grill.
It's
a show full of lawyer jokes.
Got it. So you're a practicing attorney?
I am.
Lovely.
A litigator for almost 25 years now.
And so you have argued in front of a jury?
I have a few times. It's becoming increasingly rare with arbitration clauses and things, but occasionally things actually go to trial.
So where did you grow up?
Grew up in suburbs of Kansas City on the Kansas side and came down here for
Kansas folks
undergrad
lately.
At Trinity in San Antonio.
Heard of that place.
Law school at Baylor. And then,
heard of that place too.
Had a very brief captivity in Houston as a baby lawyer, and then got to Austin as quick as I could.
There you go.
A brief baby lawyer.
A young
Straight
lawyer.
Out of school.
Oh, I thought you meant you were representing babies.
Most of my clients acted like babies, but they were not infants. Yes.
But you would represent a baby if one came to you with the right amount of money.
Yes. Well, the money is important to the firm. Yes.
So, how long have you been singing? Or do you sing? We heard you beatbox. Do you sing as well?
I didn't sing at all growing up. I played trombone.
I find that instrument fascinating.
Years ago, probably about 12, 13 years ago, my wife said, we need to have a couple activity. And so I said, okay, I'll find out how much season hockey tickets cost.
She said,
misunderstand. You're joining the church choir with me.
Ah, she wins.
That started it. And then after I built some confidence up there, I joined Texas Choral Consort here in town. And I've been singing with them for a number of years. And then met Christine through Bar and Grill, and she got together some of the Bar and Grill singers and said, you know, we need to goof off more than just once a year. And so she put together the La Cappella thing.
Excellent. La Cappellas. We love that.
La Cappella, that's a great name.
Yep.
It made me smile. When I looked down on the paper, I was like,
Right, that's what we
did. Yeah,
I did. I giggled over in my corner. I was like, oh.
Jess Lynn, do you sing?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for being on the show.
Okay, bye.
Are you a soprano?
I am.
I knew
could
it.
You tell?
I could. And you're an Aquarius, right?
No, I'm a Sagittarius. Yeah,
that's what I meant.
you had the Terrius.
So do you do musical theater?
Yeah. I haven't.
You didn't sound convincing. Let's try that again. Do you do musical theater?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm kind of new to Austin, too.
Okay.
It'll be 2 years at the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had a chance to do musical theater here, but I'm from Oregon and back in Portland and Eugene and those parts. I did a few musicals. So
what? Give us some of your representative roles
in musical theater.
Yeah, what have you done?
Well, I did enjoy
your favorite stuff.
I did enjoy doing Dorothy.
It's not a kid's show. It's an all around classic.
Okay,
like
we got it.
Singing in the
we
rain,
got it.
Babe.
We've already hit that one.
And there were some, I don't know, there were some other good ones, but that really is the icing on the cake. That was so fun.
Did you do the version with the jitterbug?
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's the best one.
Okay. Everyone in the audience is like, what's this part?
The song that was cut from the movie.
Yeah,
such a great
weird,
song. Yeah.
So you moved here from Portland?
I did. I went to school in Eugene at the University of Oregon, mm-hmm, and graduated. And
in theater?
Theater and journalism, yes.
Okay. Theater and journalism.
Yes.
Majored in theater, minored in journalism?
Yes. My parents said, we will support you and your theater endeavors, but you have to do a little something else. And
yeah.
So they thought journalism was a really good, going to stick strong kind of.
They just said it.
We at Offstage and On the Air have a lot of journalistic integrity. We're a hard-hitting news program. Did you do theater as a youngster? Like a youngster?
Yeah. In seventh grade, I really started doing stuff. That was when I got to be Miss Hannigan in Annie, which was my favorite ever. I didn't want to be Annie. I wanted to be Miss Hannigan. And I loved it.
She's got the best numbers.
So. She does.
Yeah.
She really does.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, ever since I can remember, I've just been annoying people with music and acting type.
So what do we have to do to convince you to audition for some musicals here in town? Because there's a lot of musicals that happen here.
Yeah, you know, the reason I didn't until I moved here, I had some horrible ear problems going on that have since been fixed. But it really prevented me from being able
to be tough.
Sing and stuff. So now, especially that's fixed and I can hear, I really need to do that. So let me know of any auditions.
Awesome. I will. I'll call you.
You'll be the first person.
You'll soprano it up. So what was it that brought you into theater?
Initially, I just really loved Annie, and I knew I had to do it. And I think I stayed for the friends and the camaraderie and the family aspect, as cheesy as that sounds.
Come for the show, stay for the friends.
Yeah. And that's just where I always found myself as I moved through school. I always felt at home with the theater kids. So
lovely, lovely.
That's why I stayed. I love it.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Keep going. And what would be your dream? Would you have a dream role?
I really do love the musical Spring Awakening, and I have to say One Love
coming back to Broadway.
Yeah, I got to see it when
they're
it came
announcing
to
the cast today.
Ooh, wow, that's great! Yeah, I did see it when it came through, and I love it. It's really great. I really like it a lot.
That's a tough, I forgot the
Wendla.
Yeah, that's a tough role.
Yeah. I mean, beautiful I'm not role. Saying I'm ready, but it is a dream.
No, you can do it. If Lea Michele can do it, you can do it.
There you go.
Oh, thanks.
Christine.
Lisa.
What's the skinny? Nicole. What's going on?
The skinny is not me. I gained like 3 pounds.
I had a pint of ice cream last night. Okay. So
yeah, but when you're short like us, every people laugh and I'm like, 2 pounds I can't fit into my pants. Like
I'm wearing yoga pants.
Yeah, I'll be putting the sweat ones right back on when I get home.
So, what's happened? Do you do theater?
I do. I'm actually, because, you know, Ling's wrote me back in with Lucky Chaos.
And good.
My day job, I'm an attorney. I'm also, you know, a mom and a wife. And now I kind of feel like a born-again college student. This point in my life where I feel like I can weave back the passion project where my career took over, where my, you know, family roles took over, and now I can have some time for myself. So I have this opportunity, and I'm writing a Christmas play.
Wonderful. Nice.
And we're going to mount it in December, the first 2 weeks of December. And it's called, the working title now is A Lucky Chaos Christmas, The White Elephant in the Room.
Lovely.
So it's going to be, I'm just cheesy, Nicole. Just,
I love extra creamy Velveeta. That makes me smile.
Does that mean it's a Republican that comes to Christmas?
Possibly. Who knows? Maybe that's one of the gifts that we will open.
That's true.
Yes, a concealed handgun license will be one of the white elephant gifts.
In a school.
Yeah. But it'll be a one act, and it'll be a white elephant party. And as people, you know, steal or exchange or things like that, we get to unfold and unravel the stories of these longtime friends that come and meet each other at Christmas.
Great. And this is going to be a Lucky Chaos production.
Yes.
So Lucky Chaos, for those that don't know, it is an Asian theater company here in town.
Yes. Austin's Asian American theater company that tells underrepresented stories in the community.
Yep.
So
very, very important.
We love them. They come on a lot. We makes me happy.
And you have a lovely daughter.
Thank you.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter. sorry. Herman's Hermits. And I know her because I saw her in a lovely video.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us about that video that you made.
Oh, yeah. So a few weeks prior, because this past week has been pretty celebratory, but the few weeks prior to that, my heart has been really heavy with a lot of things happening when it comes to McKinney. And then it was Charlotte. And then you have social media and folks that you thought were just really great neighbors kind of post things that make you question, you know, what kind of neighborhood am I living in? Mm-hmm. You know, when they say that little girl should not have mouthed off and she got what she deserved. So things like that, it just really broke my heart. And I found my friends, especially my Black friends, feeling really tired and exhausted because whenever they have to speak up, they feel like people meet them with such defensiveness.
Right.
And they get worn down. And so I had one friend who said she wishes that she wasn't alone and she wishes other people would help and support her when it comes to just expressing how, you know, tragic these things are when it comes to Black Lives Matter. And, you know, then you get met with, don't all lives matter? Yes, but in this instance, Black lives specifically matter because we have so many things happening that says it doesn't.
Right.
And so it's even a challenge for people to speak up and say that. So what I did was recorded President Obama last week when he was giving his eulogy in Charlotte. He sang Amazing Grace, and then he spoke the names of the 9 members of AME Church who lost their lives. And that's how my daughter learned to sing Amazing Grace.
Wow.
And she kept wanting to watch the video over, and then we learned the song. And then so I said, this is what we are going to do. You know, it's just, people say, I can't do anything. You can't change things. It's happened already. But you can do something, you know. So I said, let's do a video. And so I did a video where Vanessa and I are singing Amazing Grace, and she's pretty much the lead. I'm doing the background vocals. And then after that, we read off the names of the 9 members. And when I say the name, she repeats after me, which I didn't expect her to, but she did.
Yeah.
And so, and that was my way of showing my friends on social media and whoever else sees it that we're here to support you.
you know, and then there are other people, and you don't have to be alone. And this is our way to do it.
Yeah.
And that's how sometimes theater and performance art and song and all that kind of stuff can lift people up.
Yes.
Yeah, you can use that performance art power, you know, to make that kind of message.
Well, that's good. And I will set a link to that video on our website site. So Lisa. folks can listen to it because it is really quite beautiful. What?
I like that you said the website.
Did I say the website?
I like the website.
Okay, that was the website. Yeah, well that is beautiful. So what interest does? What's your daughter's name?
Vanessa.
Is she a little actress? She seems like
one. She kind of is. She's becoming a performer, and she also directs a lot.
Of course. Oh.
So we just recently saw, because we just bought the video of Big Hero 6. So it's this actually an Asian American mm-hmm. little boy. And I think he might be biracial because his aunt is white. And so they kind of give hints to that. But they don't make it a central theme. But it's, you know, part of the character. And so, and the big fluffy marshmallow robot. And so daddy is the robot.
I want to see this movie so bad.
Yeah.
I've been obsessed with it.
And so, and she's, you know, hero. So she'll do that a lot. She goes, daddy, you do this. And you have to walk in like this. And then this is what you say. And then I come. And then when I come in, and then you like fall to the ground. Are you ready? Let's go. And then he'll do something. She goes, daddy, you didn't do what? So she's a director.
Awesome.
She's a writer. And I think she's also a budding actress.
Well, that's great. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you all for joining us backstage. This has been fun.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll all join ourselves back at the cast party that's gone on. And I hope there's some beer left over.
There could be.
Okay. See you guys.
Thanks.
Bye.